Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Consolidated Audit Trail Industry Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. If at any time during the conference you need to reach an operator, please press star 0. And as a reminder, this conference is being recorded Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. It is now my pleasure to turn our conference over to Paul McKenney. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for taking the time to listen to today's presentation. Today's presentation is on the Consolidated Audit Trail, or CAT, industry member registration process. My name is Paul McKenney. I'm with FINRA CAT. And with me today is Shelley Bolin and Katie Madison. Today what we're going to cover for our agenda is, first of all, an explanation of who needs to register for the CAT. We'll walk through the registration timeline. We'll let you know what the information is that we're going to be collecting. We'll show you how to register, including a walkthrough of the registration form. And then we'll walk through next steps, and then finish up just with a recap of what phases 2A and phase 2B are and when they will start, which is the industry member reporting phases. And then we'll finish up with a question and answer session. I know a question that often gets asked is whether or not the deck will be made available on the website. It will, in addition to the recording of this call. So to start off, who must register? And the answer to that is any member of one of the plan participants, so any of the National Securities Exchanges or FINRA that handles orders in or quotes in NMS equity securities, OTC equity securities, or listed options. So if you're handling any of those security types, then you would be a CAT reporter and you would have the obligation to register. In addition, any third-party CAT reporting agent that is or will be authorized to submit data to the CAT on behalf of an industry member would also need to register to the CAT. So if you're a service bureau that's going to be reporting on behalf of industry members, then we would also be looking for you to register as well. You know, one thing we just wanted to make clear is that the CAT rules do not provide for any firms to be excluded or exempted from the CAT reporting obligation, any firms that are handling orders in reportable securities. So therefore, you know, if you're a firm that may not have had an obligation to report to OATS, you will have an obligation to report to CAT, and therefore you also would need to register. And that would be true whether or not you're reporting on your own behalf or somebody else is going to be reporting data on your behalf. Either way, you will need to report the data. I'm sorry, you'll need to submit a registration form. So the registration timeline. The CAT registration opened yesterday, and we already have a few dozen registration forms in, so thank you to those who were the early adopters and got your registration forms in. The registration period will continue to run through June 27th, and we, you know, are going to be looking for all industry members with a CAT reporting obligation to register during that time frame. So what kind of information is going to be collected on the registration form? So this is designed to identify essentially who's going to be reporting, who we can contact regarding CAT reporting issues, how you're going to report. So we're going to be getting the company information, CRD, things like that, the name of the registered principal, the CAT report source, how are you going to be submitting data to the CAT, will you be self-reporting or reporting through a vendor. The preferred reporting method, so will you be reporting via SFTP or coming in through the CAT Reporter portal, the types of securities that your firm trades, and then also whether you're a small or large broker-dealer, per the CAT rules, which is based upon a total capitalization of $500,000 or less would make you constitute as a small broker-dealer. And the last thing that we're going to be collecting is a CAT reporting default IMID. And what an IMID is an industry member identifier. And this is an identifier that's been assigned to you by an SRO, so FINRA or one of the exchanges that you're using to report and trade. So the equivalent would be like an MPID or a trading mnemonic or something along those lines. But you would need to provide one that you would be using as a default identifier in case there was any kind of a reporting issue. The registration form can be found on the catnmsplan.com website. There is a registration tab, and the registration form would be submitted directly online. So it would just be submitted directly through that website. And I'm going to take you there now and walk you through the registration form very quickly. So just bear with me here a half a second. So I'm now at the consolidated audit, the www.catnmsplan.com website. And as you can see here on the top right corner is the registration tab. If you click that, that will automatically bring up the registration form. And as you walk through, you can see that this is the registration process. The registration form is the first in a number of steps in the process to full CAT reporting. So once we get the registration information in, then we will be starting the next phases of this process, which will include login entitlement setup, and then which will be to the CAT Reporter portal, where you'll be getting a lot of your statistics and things like that when you submit data to the system. The connectivity setup, if you're using SFTP, how you're going to be connecting into FINRA/CAT, and then the testing and certification process where firms would need to submit data into the test environment before they can go into production. So then moving through the form itself, the first thing you can see is the company information, so the organization's legal name, its business name, the organization type. Are you an industry member firm? Are you a third-party service bureau? Then we have the address of the firm, the main address, the CRD number. If you do not have a CRD number, you know, or a service bureau, that can be left blank. The primary contact name would be the individual that should be contacted for any CAT-related matters. And then we also have space here for a secondary contact name if there is a second person that you your firm would want to be contacted for these types of matters. Then we have the registered principal name, phone, and email. Then we get down into the CAT report source. And what we've done here is we have a primary and a secondary CAT report source because there are some firms that will be both self-reporting and using a vendor or multiple vendors. So you can choose both. And then there's a space there to identify who your vendor will be or who the third-party service bureau would be that would maybe submitting data on your behalf. The next step is the preferred connectivity type. If you're self-reporting, will you be coming in via SFTP or CAT Reporter portal? If you're a vendor, then we would also expect you to submit, check that box as well. Securities traded, are you an equities firm or an options firm or both? And then the next one is, as I had mentioned before, are you classified as a small broker-dealer, meaning that you have a total capital of less than $500,000? And then finally, the last two questions are you an OATS reporter, so are you currently submitting data to OATS, or is somebody currently submitting data on your behalf to OATS? And then the last thing is a free-form text field to put your default CAT reporting IMID in there. So, again, that would be something like your MPID or trading mnemonic or, you know, whatever the primary identifier that your firm uses, that's what you would want to put in that field. So that is the form itself. And then going back to the deck, Whoops. Let me just get here. Going to the next steps, as I think I've already kind of mentioned these, that we're going to be getting everybody the CAT Reporter portal entitlement. We'll be getting them the connectivity and then getting into the testing phases as we get closer to our production dates. We will be providing additional information on these steps in the near future, so I would encourage people to keep an eye out on the catnmsplan.com website, which is where, you know, the primary source of information for this project. And the last thing we just wanted to do is just to remind you of what the reporting phases are for 2A and 2B, what the go-lives will be. It'll start in December 2019 is when the testing environment will open. This will be focusing on file submission and data integrity validations. Those are the only validations that will be turned on at that point. Firms will have the opportunity to test those until April of 2020, which is when the data will be submitted into the production environment. At that time, we'll also be opening in the testing environment our intra-firm linkage validations. So this is linkages for reports that are submitted within your firm. So if you're submitting a new order and a route, we'll be turning on the validations and we'll be testing those validations starting in April 2020. And then those validations would go live in production in July of 2020. And then we move to the next phase, which would be the industry testing for broker-to-broker linkage validations would be in place. So firms would be able to start testing their systems to see how they're performing in linking up routes to other broker-dealers. And then that would go live in production in October of 2020. And then in September 2020 is when we would turn on the exchange and TRF linkage validations in the testing environment. And then those would go live in the October 2020 timeframe. So that is when people would begin to start reporting. And again, that's for 2A, that is for equities. For 2B, for options, it's the same sort of staggering of the different functionality that would be in place at different times. But you can see here the dates, again, for 2B, the testing environment would open in December 2019. It would go live in production in May of 2020, so a month after the equities would go live. And then the intra-firm linkages for options would start in August 2020 in production. The firm-to-firm linkages would be October 2020 in production. And then finally, the exchange linkage validations would go live in December of 2020. So those are the dates for phases 2A and phases 2B. We will be in the future sharing additional information on phases 2C and D, including reporting dates. But I don't have that for the purposes of this presentation. The last thing we wanted to let you know is that the CAT Help Desk is up and functional. And currently taking questions. The number that you can use is 888-696-3348 to submit any questions verbally, or you can submit them via email to help@finracat.com, the help desk will circle back with you and get you an answer as quick as we can. So with that, operator, we would like to open the line to questions.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the 1 followed by the 4 on your telephone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt to acknowledge your request. And if your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press the 1 followed by the 3. And finally, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift your headset before entering your request. And our first question comes from the line of Stephen Goon. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brandon. This is Stephen calling from BMO in New York. I think you just confirmed that for both equities and options, the testing will start in December.
That's correct.
Is that Is that deliberate? Because we thought there was probably a mistake, since the two products are different.
Well, the production go live would be is staggered, so you would
right.
have additional testing time.
Okay, so they can both start in December. Obviously, go live for options is a little later. I believe it's like in July.
Right, the options
right, which
go
is phase
live.
2B.
Right, phase B would start with the data integrity in May of 2020.
Right. Is that deliberate? Because, I mean, given that those two products are so different, right? Just the setup and all that is going to be different as well. So, you know, we may have to be working concurrently on options and equities while we set up what we get ready for the test.
Yeah, Paul, I can jump in here if you like. This
sure.
is Shelley Bowen. Yes, that was deliberate. So we understand that there's concurrent development, that there's staggering on the production date
mm-hmm.
end of it, but FINRA/CAT will be developing and delivering concurrently for both, and firms will have the opportunity. They don't have to come in right starting in December 2019, but the system will be ready and open for both products, equities and options, and that was deliberate.
Okay, then let's say I start my equities in December, and I want to start my my options, let's say, after equities go live in April. How much time do I have left to test before I have to go live with the options?
The options goes live in May of 2020, so you would have, depending on what time of the month you came in April,
right.
you would, you know, have, call it, you know, approximately 30 days.
Yeah, which is not a lot. All right. Thank you for the answer.
And our next question comes from the line of Ari Wallacever. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. I'm just curious, when you have on the registration form where it says the principal, does that have to be from the business side, from the compliance side, or is it up to the firm to choose?
Yeah, I think that that's really up to the firm to choose. It would just need to be a registered principal.
And our next question comes from the line of Mildred O'Donnell. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I also have a question regarding the form. When it has primary CAT report source, I put using vendor. And then for secondary, it says it's optional, but you have to put in a preferred connectivity. Well, right now, we have OSOs that report on our behalf, but I'm able to go in for oath purposes and do repairs and such like on the portal. So would I put both self-reporting and using vendors so that I'm able to do that with CAT?
Yeah, you will definitely be able to use, you know, there will be a reporter portal that you'll be able to use. I think that what we're really looking for here is, you know, the primary method that you would be submitting data initially.
All right, so I don't have to worry about, like, repairs and things like that. Like, if you are a member and you're registering, you'll automatically have access to the portal.
Be getting access to the portal, that's correct.
All right, so if my primary reporting is going to be a vendor, then that's all I'm checking off. And if I'm not sure if they're using SFTP or the portal, I can check off both?
Yeah, that's fine, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to register any questions, you can press 1-4 on your telephone. And our next question comes from the line of Jeremy Kahn. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This is Jeremy from Jane Street. The form has a section to indicate the primary IMID. If brokers have multiple IMIDs, do they need to register separately for each IMID that they use for clearing and reporting trades?
No, the purpose of this is really just to lay out a default CAT IMID. I think it was in one of the CAT alerts where we discussed about the inter-firm routing. We had indicated that we would be looking for a default CAT IMID that could be published for firms to resolve inter-firm linkage issues. So that's the purpose of the default CAT IMID.
Okay, so if you have two or three that you use on trades, will in that directory that you just mentioned, will firms be able to differentiate and know that they're the same?
Well, I think the purpose here is that if you're unable to create a link and it's caused by IMID issues, so you know maybe the receiving firm and the sending firm are having a problem connecting on the identifier. If they go in and see the list and they see that the default CAT IMID for the routing firm is ABCD, they could both populate that in the IMID fields, and that would resolve the mismatch. So we would really just be looking for a single default CAT IMID.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure.
And our next question comes from the line of Maria Zekhausen. Please go ahead.
Sure. I actually have two questions. First is if you are both a broker-dealer and you have an ATS, are we expected to have two different registrations?
Are they operating under the same broker-dealer number?
One's a broker-dealer and the other's, well, that's a good question.
Yeah, if they're operating under two different broker dealer numbers, then we would expect to see two different registration forms.
Okay, and you said registered principal. What are the qualifications of registered principal?
That they would be, have the proper certifications to be considered a registered principal.
And our next question comes from the line of Denise Steffel. Please go ahead.
Hi. This is in reference to the registration form. So I understand that all broker-dealers have to go out and register themselves, but can you kind of expand on what your plan is for the correspondent clearing firms who will be doing CAT on behalf of their IB?
Yeah, the clearing firms would need to register as well. They're considered industry members, so we would certainly expect to see a registration form coming in from them, right. for their own business. Their correspondents, of course, would need to submit their own registration forms as well.
Yeah, I guess the question is more on are you, because there is this notion that there's going to be a sign-in or a ID that's extended out to get to the portal. So will the clearing firm have access to that, or is that something that you're going to have the IBs indirectly have to provide to the clearing firms in order to get access? So in regards to the status or the data that you're going to provide back?
Sure. So the question is, would the clearing firms have access to see the data that's submitted, that they submit on behalf of their correspondents to see, what was rejected and things like that? Is that
correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes, they would.
And how are we going to do that?
That would be done through an authorization process, kind of similar to the transmitting relationships that are set up in OATS today.
Mm-hmm.
That would authorize the clearing firm to transmit on behalf of a correspondent. And once that is established, then the feedback would be coming back both to the transmitting firm as well as the firm on whose behalf the data was submitted.
Okay. And is that process coming later, I guess?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, perfect. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question comes from the line of Angela Lucas. Please go ahead.
Yeah, we were wondering when the next tech spec was coming out.
Sure. The next version of the tech spec will be the next draft of version 1.1, which will be out on 3/29. And then there will be an additional version which would be coming out on 4/29. So there'll be additional information that's going to be provided, on 3/29, and then more finality would be brought to the spec on 4/29.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question is a follow-up from the line of Stephen Gown. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is just a quick request from a colleague. I understand that we have the option of either using the portal to submit to the test or to go to through an FTP line. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So the text feedback, will that be something that we also get either through the portal or through the FTP line directly assigned to us?
Yes.
And will anyone but us be able to see the results of the test?
It would be coming in. Yeah, so it would be the test environment is a production-like environment, so it would be providing the same functionality. So the people that would be able to see your data would be if you are a firm that's submitting your own data, you would be the only entity that would be able to see it. If somebody is submitting on your behalf, then that transmitting entity as well as your own firm would be able to see the data, that test data.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Welcome.
And our next question comes from the line of Edna Zina. Please go ahead. Oh, Edna Zena, your line is open. Please proceed with your question.
Hi. My question is, if a broker-dealer is currently reporting as one entity but has plans to split into two separate legal entities reporting to CAT, how should the registration be handled for the proposed new entity? Because I see a closure date of June 27th, and the CAT reporting doesn't take into effect till next year. So will we have an opportunity to register the new entity later?
Yes. Yes, you will. That June 27th date is the date that we would want all currently existing broker-dealers to report. But, of course, we'll need to have the registration form available for, new industry members to be able to register for the CAT as well. So there would be an opportunity to register after that time period. But the goal is to get everybody registered by June 27th that's currently an industry member that will be reporting to the CAT.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question comes from the line of Matthew Henry. Please proceed with your question.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. I have one question on this registered principal on the form. Could that be any registered principal at the firm, or do you want a registered principal that is dealing with the CAT?
I think that we would prefer somebody that's dealing with the CAT, with the CAT, but
right.
But we do also have those primary and secondary contacts. So, if we have a registered principal from another part of the firm, I think that would be fine as long as those primary and secondary contacts are directly involved with the CAT.
Okay. So I'll just put I'm in there. I'm registered up 4/24. Both are registered. So. One more question for you. When we get into doing repairs, and I had found this problem just doing repairs with Oates, we need to get in touch with the other side. We need names and phone numbers of every broker-dealer that is involved in CAT just to be able to do these repairs. And with Oates, we had time. We had a few days to get a hold of the right people to make the repairs, with the other firms. With CAT, we have hours to get a hold of these people and make these repairs. Will you be publishing a list of all the people that are qualified to make repairs or research repairs at every firm? Is that going to be available to us?
Right. It's
yeah.
A- Fair question. I certainly understand, you know, we certainly understand the time parameters involved, you know, with making the repairs and in particular the linkage repairs. So, you know, we are certainly exploring. We're looking at the error correction process now. We're looking at the process now, and we're looking to make you know, good tools available. So that those are all things that we're, you know, considering at this point. But I can't say we have a final decision on that at this point.
Yeah, if you could publish a directory of, you know, just help desk for every firm that is reporting, or, well, everyone is going to be doing their own repairs unless the people that are reporting in your behalf are going to be doing the repairs. So who,
right.
Do,
yeah,
you know, people
understand.
Know who to talk to, you know. Because if I'm calling Ed Jones and Bloomberg is doing their repairs, who do I call, Bloomberg or Ed Jones? Do you know, we got to funnel this down to we make one phone call and get it fixed instead of hunting around three or four different calls to find out who's doing CAT today.
Yeah, yeah. No, we certainly understand the dilemma.
Okay. That's it for today. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks.
And our next question comes from the line of Joseph Berga. Please go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, gentlemen? My question really more pertains to the clearing firms. Since the clearing firms will be reporting on our behalf, I guess the issues that I'm concerned about is if they're going to be doing the reporting, the same way that OATS is being reported right now, we'll have access to view the OATS sites and see what's going on in terms of problems and issues. But as far as their timing, since they're going to be doing all the reporting, they'll be doing all the repairs, and I guess they'll be the ones who'll be contacted directly for any issues when it comes to CATS. So I'm wondering if you're going to be reaching out directly to the clearing firms, or are you going to be trying to reach out directly to the broker-dealers when it comes to it? Or since both parties are being alerted, I'm assuming that the broker-dealer will be the one primarily looking to fix the issues. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I understand your question. And, you know, I think that the correspondents and the clearing firms are certainly going to need to be in communication and make sure that there is a good understanding of who will be resolving, you know, any kind of reporting issues. Ultimately, it's the broker-dealer that is responsible for, you know, compliance with the rule, with the CAT reporting rule. So they'll want to be sure that they have a process in place and that they're working closely with their clearing firm to be able to get the corrections and the linkage issues resolved.
All right. That was my question. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
And our next question comes from the line of Michael Shimanov. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, is there any update on when 2C and the following phases are going to be released or what the go-live dates for those are?
I don't think that we have the exact date for those phases yet. Shelley, I might...
Sure.
Ask if you're putting it.
We will be sharing that information in the very near future. We're still finalizing a few details on that and the final phase for small members, and we're not quite ready to share, but it will be forthcoming very shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Alicia Mullis. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had a quick question. As an introducing broker-dealer that clears through a clearing firm, do we just indicate that we are using a vendor and then list our clearing firm? Is the first
yes.
question. Okay.
Yeah, then, I think that's the best way to handle that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then the second question is, do we just need to verify with our clearing firm what our IMID is or what MPID they are using currently for our CATS or for our OATS reporting if we're exempt?
Right. So if you're exempt or excluded, yeah, that's one way you could do it. You could also, if you call the help desk, we could certainly help you find out what that is. Yeah, either way would be a good way to handle that.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question comes from the line of Arun Iyer. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Arun Iyer from SocGen. So my question is regarding the testing phase with exchanges and TRF. So the question is it only going to be available during that time that the exchanges and TRF data would be integrated into the UAT platform, or is that something that would be available as on an ongoing basis so it can help for ongoing testing in the future phases as well? Because in OATS today, I think in the test environment, we don't really get the linkages and TRF, match statistics, et cetera, in the test system.
Right, yeah. So I think that, you can obviously submit all of your data, and when we're looking at, how we're going to be providing the linkage feedback in those earlier stages. But obviously you can certainly submit all the data, and I think that we're working through that and making those types of decisions now on what information would be provided back in those early stages of testing prior to those TRF and exchange linkage, prior to when that testing starts.
And just to call, just to jump in if I understood, are you talking about once everything is fully in production in in an ongoing basis, once the first drop into the test for exchange and TRF and going into the future, that will always be there, all of it every day in tests because it replicates production like OATS today, so you can always come in and test at any time, and the exchange and TRF data will be there. No.
So basically, the many of the exchanges also have their own test environments. Whether that data would also be fed continuously into the test environment of CAT, so the linkages can also be done in a test environment itself. So it can be tested. That was my question, basically.
Well, so to clarify, this is Katie, are you talking about if an exchange is going through a testing period, they're doing something different, and you want to do a test to their test system? Or just on a regular?
Kind of, yes. On a regular basis, would the matching, whatever happens in production, would that functionality be available on an ongoing basis after going live with the linkages in production? So would I, if I do a test with say NYSE, for example, would submit my own CAT report, and would I expect NYSE test system to also submit their own CAT report and then to get statistics or feedback on matching, etc., those kind of things?
Right. Yeah, I think we'll have to work out the details of how that might work. I think I understand what you're asking. So, currently the thought is that we would have, our live production data in the test environment on a daily basis like OATS does today. If they're doing a test within the system, I think we'll have to talk about the details of how that might work. But we understand the feedback, and we can take that back.
Some new functionality in exchange is testing that they haven't deployed to production yet either. Is that what you're talking about?
Kind of, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so
all right, thank you. That was my question.
Yeah, okay. Thanks. We'll take that back.
And our next question comes from the line of Eric Chagnon. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. We wanted to confirm the linkage timeline that we'd have to fix errors that we saw in linkage. Previous questions alluded to a timeline that was not 2+3. Can someone provide some more color there?
Yeah, that's right. The linkage errors would have to be corrected by 8 a.m. on T+3.
So previously it sounded like that needed to be done within hours. That's why we're seeing we want to get additional clarity here.
Yeah, I think maybe an earlier caller might have characterized it as such, but what you'll get the feedback from the CAT processor by noon on T plus 1, and your correction will be due by 8 a.m. on T plus 3. So it's not hours, but it's not the current. Well, unlinks aren't currently required to be corrected. But that's your window, noon on T plus 1 to 8 a.m. on T plus 3.
Fantastic. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Monica Petrowski. Please go ahead.
Hi. So regarding a registration form, along the lines of a question that was asked previously, if a clearing firm is submitting on behalf of a broker-dealer, should the primary and secondary contacts be from the clearing firm or from the broker-dealer?
Still from the broker-dealer. So each industry member should report or submit a registration form that provides, really from their own perspective. So we would want the industry, the introducing broker-dealer's primary and secondary contact, and then when the clearing firm submits its own registration form, we'll have their primary and secondary contact.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And our next question is a follow-up from the line of Joseph Berga. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty simple. As far as the testing data is concerned, the clearing firm, but since we're not processing any of our trades and they're exclusively doing it for us, the testing data should be done by them. You're not requiring us to do any kind of testing data, correct?
Right. So if you have another entity submitting on your behalf, what we would be looking for is to see, one, that there's a relationship between you and the clearing firm, and two, that the entity that's submitting on your behalf has the ability to submit data into the testing environment. Okay.
And our next question comes from the line of Stephen Gown. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question regards the symbols that we're going to be using for both equities and options. You currently publish a list of symbols, that the OATS process uses at the end of day. I was advised that we should use that for equities, but for options, what do you suggest we do? Do we use the ones that you publish for EBS, blue sheets?
Yeah, I think the symbols for options is in the OSI format. And I related to like that statistic list too.
The OSI symbology list, I believe, is available through OTC, but we're still discussing exactly what we will be able to publish and the specific guidance around the options symbology, but it's the OSI symbology.
Okay. So we have to wait then for that one, right?
Yeah, but it's coming very shortly.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And our next question comes from the line of Michael Tirello. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Michael Tirello from Bloomberg. I had a question on the testing piece, and I think in one of the last calls you talked about getting certification before you would submit your file on April 1st or in the beginning of April. How is that going to work? Can a OSO who's reporting for multiple broker-dealers do the submission, and do they have to do it for every firm or just the one file that would represent multiple firms? How's that going to work?
Yeah, I think we're still kind of working through the testing plan, but I think that what we would expect is that any firm that's transmitting on its own behalf or on the behalf of others would need to display that they have the ability to submit error-free data. So I don't anticipate that meaning that they would have to submit a file for every single, you know, correspondent or every single customer that they have, but that they would have to, you know, show that they have the ability to submit error-free data into the testing environment before they would be able to go into production.
So there'll be some sort of sign-off process or something like that, I guess?
Yeah, as I said, we're still kind of working through that testing plan, but we will certainly be publishing more details on that as we get a little further down this road.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And we appear to have no further questions on the audio line.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for your attention and your interaction and your good questions today. I hope that this was helpful, and we will look forward to receiving your registration form soon. Thanks so much, and have a good afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference call for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your lines.